Sportsnet 650.
Josh Clipperton joins us now from the Canadian Press. I was one of them. This team has been put on the shoulders and really brought back into the future by David Ostad, who's been their most valuable player for the last 3 or 4 years. Stefan Marinovic is good and played well yesterday. MVP of last year's team, our most outstanding player, was Jordan Harvey. And at some point, the game moves past people. I don't think it's moved past either of those guys yet. Josh, did you get the sense that there was a surprise in that room, or the fact that those two key veterans of this squad weren't in the biggest game that this team was playing as far as the regular season was concerned in a long time?
I think that I was a little surprised. I also don't disagree with the moves. I've thought for a while that Marcel Dionne deserved more of a chance. With Marinovic, I mean, he's played really well when he comes in. But I am surprised in, like you said, in a home game, you know, with so much on the line that they did, that both David Ostad and Jordan Harvey didn't get in the lineup. But at the same time, I don't have a problem with it. I know I understand fans' concern, but for me, I thought it was probably the strongest lineup they could have put out there. I mean, you can argue Ostad and Marinovic's traits, but I didn't have a problem with it, especially with Bolaños out. I thought, at least attacking-wise, it was probably the best they could have done.
Yeah, I you understand, and I think a lot of people did. I just wonder what it does in the room at this point when there's two key veteran players, and they go, hey, we've been in this battle for a long time, and now is the moment. I don't think you go up or down that much either way with those guys in, and that certainly wasn't the difference in the game. I found it very interesting. Again, Josh, this team with something to play for, as Randeep said, a city wanting to embrace them. Was there deflation that you sensed in the room and even in the building when it ended the way it did?
Yeah, definitely deflation in the building. I mean, I just going back to your point about veteran guys, I agree that could play a role. I mean, I think that there's, you know, there's something to be said for chemistry, and those guys have been through the battles. And I didn't get a sense personally, but I mean, I think that it could definitely, there could have been some head scratching. In terms of the building, definitely disappointing. I'm sure you guys talked about all the missed chances. I felt like I was watching the team from 2014 yesterday when Darren Maddox was sending things into row Z, you know, a few times a game. And none of the misses were that bad, but they had so many chances. And you know, I asked Carl Robinson the question after the game, you know, did you sort of get a sense that with all those misses that, you know, something bad was going to happen? And he agreed. And he said he got a sinking feeling. And unfortunately for the Whitecaps, you know, one chance for San Jose, you know, made the difference, and they took it.
You mentioned the 2014 team. The difference between that team and this team is that they have Freddy Montero. That's not supposed to happen now. He scored 13 goals. Yet, here we are again. Was that game kind of begging for Freddy Montero to kind of get one of those four goals and put it in the net? That's why you sign a big-name striker, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was curious with the substitution of him at the end. I mean, you know, he comes off for Eric Hurtado, and nothing against Eric Hurtado, but with a couple of those corner kicks late in the game when the Caps are really pressing, you know, with 5-6 minutes left, I mean, that's where Freddy Montero makes his money, you know, sort of coming in and out of the game and poking something home, you know, a loose ball or something. I was surprised that he was taken off, especially, you know, they have a full week off. I didn't seem like he was injured. I mean, we don't know for sure. I didn't ask Carl after the game about that one, but the chances in the first half, and then in the second half, he had, you know, they had that break with Jordy Reyna, and I mean, he could have, you know, he obviously could have done better. I mean, you got to give the keeper for the Earthquakes credit, pardon me. But no, you expect him to bury at least one of those three golden opportunities that he had.
So this sets up a big match versus Portland. It's essentially a winner-take-all. You know, if Portland wins, they get first. If Vancouver wins, Vancouver gets first. What's the ideal lineup in your point of view for that match? So we've seen some tinkering from Carl Robinson, but who would you trot out there? Would you make any changes to what he had yesterday?
Yeah, well, I think that you definitely see Bolaños come in. I think that that's a given. Other than that, I mean, people have been talking about Nosa, the Nigerian player, coming in, and I don't think he's going to play this whole season now because this game means something. Marinovic, I think it's a coin flip, like Sir Perry said. That save that he made right after giving up the goal was pretty special. I don't know that David Ostad makes that save, and that's no disrespect to David, but that was a pretty amazing stop. I think you go with the same attacking guys, maybe Bolaños in for Shea. But yeah, it's a big game for the Whitecaps. They haven't gotten a result in Portland since 2015 when they drew three games, including that tie in the postseason. So it's going to be difficult. Portland's very tough at home, like most teams in MLS, 10-2-4. So it's going to be a real challenge. They only need a point, but it's going to be tough.
Well, and let's make it clear: 1 point will get them through.
It will. Yeah.
But you lose and Seattle wins. We could be hosting a playoff game a week from Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, no, it'll be a midweek games, which would be quite a turn of events after what people were thinking about heading into yesterday afternoon. I mean, that's how tight this league is. That's how tight this conference is. It's you know, and we always talk about how, you know, teams come into the playoffs and it's, you know, it's really just getting the playoffs, and then you see, you know, how the chips fall. You look at how Seattle and Portland have won the last couple of years, you know, being one of the wild card teams, for lack of a better term, at the bottom. So this is just the exact same. It's get in. But I think the Whitecaps missed a real opportunity yesterday. I mean, it was right there for them, and like you guys said, they just couldn't get it done in front of a crowd that was really anticipating a party.
He is Josh Clipperton of the Canadian Press. The show is called On Point. I'm Perry Solkowski along with Randeep Janda.
Josh, the BC Lions drop yet another game. I know mathematically they have a chance to make the playoffs still, but is that at this point not even, like, the way that they're playing, is that even really possible with the way they're playing currently?
I would imagine that is quite unlikely at this point, unfortunately. I mean, I'll be going out there to talk to them tomorrow, and I'm not really looking forward to it because yeah, it's a mess right now. I mean, from top to bottom, you know, except for their defense. I mean, they've continued to play well, but you give up 26 points and the defense doesn't surrender a touchdown and you lose. I mean, that's got to be really disheartening. They're still alive, like you said. Saskatchewan is the only team that hasn't clinched a playoff spot ahead of them. So they're in Calgary. So maybe the Lions have, you know, a breath of life on Saturday night against Edmonton. But I mean, then Saskatchewan hosts Montreal the following week. And that, I mean, if the Lions do pull out a win against Edmonton, then I think it'll be over next weekend. Really disappointing season. We talk about John Jennings a lot. I just don't know what he's seeing out there. Like, he's a good kid. We like him a lot. He's really nice with the media. But that pick six, I mean, I don't know what he's seeing. Like, he's looking right at the guy, and you know, it was just like picking cherries. It's a real disappointing season for them, and I think a lot of fans have a right to be really frustrated with how the team's performed, because this is not how it was supposed to go.
Well, and Josh, you know, the Canucks were hesitant for a couple of years to use the rebuild word. What in the world do we categorize what's going on at the Surrey practice facility of the BC Lions and at BC Place? Because I don't think rebuild is big enough. If you're talking ownership, possibly, you know, was Wally making it official soon that this is it for him? We are starting from the ground up, aren't they?
Yeah, no, I mean, it all comes down to the ownership question. I don't know that that's going to be resolved anytime soon, unfortunately. We've been saying that for a few years. I look at this team and I there's so many good pieces. Like, it doesn't make sense why they're not better. You know, I mean, John Jennings has obviously regressed a little bit, and then losing, or maybe a lot, and then losing Travis Lule this season has really hurt. I think you're going to look at the coaching staff, even if Wally does come back, and he hasn't said one way or the other. I have a hard time on some level believing that this is how he would want to go out with the team the way it is. I mean, he came down from up top to fix the team, and he did so last season. I don't know if he'd want to leave with this record on his resume. So, I mean, he has nothing to prove, obviously, but I mean, he's such a competitor. But really, it all comes down to ownership. And if new ownership comes in, maybe they want a clean house. In the CFL, you can turn things around quickly. I mean, there's like about a 30% roster overhaul on every team every year, just with how the contracts are set up. So they're not far off from turning things around. But you're right, Perry. There's a lot of unanswered questions.
Before we say goodbye to you, Josh, we have a question for you. Our poll question today is, if you go to a Canucks game on Saturday, Whitecaps game on Sunday, who would you be more disappointed to see? If they were not playing on that game, Alphonso Davies or Brock Besser, who would you be disappointed not to see?
Oh, definitely Brock Besser right now. You know, he's obviously probably the most dynamic player, though, the Canucks have, I mean, at least offensively right now. Alphonso Davies, I mean, like, there's a couple times yesterday where you just don't know what's going through his head sometimes when he has the ball, and there's no vision. Definitely an exciting player. and still has a lot of potential. But for me, Brock Besser for the Canucks is the guy that fans should want to pay to see right now.
And a few people that want to pay to see him indeed. Hey, Josh, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas. Anytime. Cheers.
We'll do it again. Josh Clipperton all over Greater Vancouver, covering all the pro sports scene for Canadian Press. Read his work, all the papers and all that.
Sportsnet 650.